Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And let us get ready to join our co-host, Kareem Hamid, for this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Akwaba! And, of course, that means welcome in Twi. And we're going to be joining our guest, who's live from Ghana by way of Chicago, Cicely McClennan, made that journey to the motherland. And so many people who talk about going back home really need to know what happened. What did we leave in Africa in terms of our understanding of who we are? And perhaps there's another side of the story that we need to know about how we got here. Some real truths, some real history. And so we're going to be joining our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and have a conversation about returning to the motherland. Our guest today, Cicely McClennan, reveals real life in Ghana. And if we do choose to visit or even relocate, maybe there are some things we should be prepared for. And maybe there are some things we need to know. And maybe the grass really is greener on the other side of the fence, and we should go and find out. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time.
Yes.
Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Chili. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Ali. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are looking forward to a fantastic opportunity to learn about Ghana. One of the things that we have struggled with is, as a people, is an understanding of who we are and where we have come from. So hold on a minute. Let me get some audio here.
All righty, there we go.
Really?
Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam and grand rising. And thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We're excited because, as always, we bring the global perspective. And today our guest is one who has, I guess you call it, repatriated from the United States to Ghana. She's been living in Ghana for the last several years, making her home and her family in Ghana. Done what a lot of people talk about doing, but don't quite have the courage to do, because we have a lot of fears. You know, we have fear of traveling abroad. We've been told, just like back when we were on the plantation, and we were told never to try to get free because the rest of the world is cruel and dangerous, as if it could be any worse than where we were at. But you had a lot of people that were afraid of the unknown. And so you still have people that are afraid of the unknown, still not willing to travel abroad, not willing to go back home to the motherland. And of course, as time passes, home gets more and more distant. We change here in America. They change there in the nations of Africa. Different situations, political situations arise. And so we can't always go back home, as they say. And when we hear things on the news, just like when everybody hears things on the news about us, there's fear. We hear and see the worst, and we become afraid. And so we tend to not act. And that's a difficulty, because if you never go anywhere, then you never learn anything. And that's the challenge that we have, getting past the fear and leaving this country so that we can see the world through different eyes. We can know what it feels like to not be the minority. We can know what it feels like not to wonder if people are going to treat us badly because of our skin color. We need to know what it feels like to be among people who look like us and not feel like we're the other, we're the different, and not feel like we're targets. We need to know what it feels like to not have that feeling, because we live under very strange circumstances, very abnormal circumstances, very damaging circumstances. And if that's all you know, if dysfunction is all you know, then you don't know what it feels like to be functional. And that's the challenge that we have. Going someplace where, even though the culture is different, the one thing that we are not fearful of is discrimination due to skin color. But there are some things I think we need to learn, which we will learn when we leave here. And that is maybe a different view of the history of what happened, the reason why we ended up over here. And all of the story might not be to our liking, because we take comfort in blaming white people for everything. And I think we need to take responsibility for what we did that created such disunity, such infighting, that someone else was able to benefit from it. We have to take responsibility for it, because in certain ways that situation still exists. So have we learned the lesson despite the harshness of the slave experience? And there's so much to be learned that we can't learn from a textbook. We need to actually be there on the ground and see for ourselves. So our guest, Cicely McLennan, she made that trip. She made that decision that she was going to relocate and find her roots and discover what's missing in our lives, what's missing in all of our lives as those who have descended from people who were brought here against their will. And yes, there are a lot of African Americans who descend from those who came earlier, before the slave experience. And we have ancestry that has never been enslaved. There are many African Americans living on this continent, some intermingling with Native ancestry, some that have been here for centuries, as we know from Lerone Bennett's book, Before the Mayflower. And we know that black skin in itself does not mean a history of slavery, but we know that in this country, the color caste system has been enforced, even for those who recently immigrated. It's part of the economic system. And we need to go someplace where that's not the case. We need to go someplace and experience opportunities that don't have anything to do with people who control the economy trying to keep you out of it, because they want to make sure that their friends and family benefit more than you do. We need to go someplace where that's not happening, so that we can feel what it feels like to be normal, to just be a human being and truly be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. So when we go back home, there's a whole different set of behaviors and values and expectations. But one thing there is not is the blaming of white people for all of our problems. And that's an experience we all need to have. So as we await our guests and get ready to hear the real deal about Africa, Kareem, have you ever thought about going back home? Have you been? And if so, what countries have you been to? And if you have not, where would you like to go and why?
No, I have not visited the continent of Africa. There are many countries that I'm interested in. I'm quite sure that there are quite a few African Americans that visit Ghana. If I'm not mistaken, Ghana is the country of exporting slaves through the door of no return.
Mm-hmm.
Many have gone to that large slave castle and stood at that door looking out over the Atlantic Ocean. And it, from what I understand, it is a very spiritual and emotional experience.
Yeah.
So I would like to experience that. Also, I saw a documentary yesterday on Malik El-Haj Shabazz, commonly known as Malcolm X. He traveled the countries of Africa, and he was very impressed by the country Sudan. He said he had never experienced such liberation, such a liberating spirit. The hospitality of the Sudanese, their graciousness, the peace that he felt among them. So I would like to experience those experiences myself. But first, I would want to go to the door of no return and express whether I have returned, you know. So it's very spiritual, very educational for us to learn about the country on the continent of Africa. You know, they always show the show a negative side of the continent, but there is a very progressive spirit on the continent of Africa. It's a very it's finding its footing to be independent once more, to dust off the influence of the colonizers that colonized the majority of Africa. So Africa is on the rise. We have to be aware of the influences of people that come to continue to exploit the natural resources and the brain power of Africa. We are blessed. I see it as a possession of mine. The whole continent is a possession of mine. You know, my blood and bone and everything came from that continent. So I believe we would do ourselves a favor to learn as much, visit certain countries, and let's try to reconnect with our brothers and our sisters on the continent of Africa. It has much to offer, very much to offer. And we can assist, you know. In this country, we say that we are the most degreed people of color on the earth. Well, if we can go, not trying to run people's lives, but assist, lend our gifts and our talents wherever they are needed, I believe we can all elevate our position on the earth. I love the continent of Africa, although I've never been there. But I would like to visit and have that experience to be among, to not be looked at as different, as an aberration, as what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing here? So we need to establish relationships with our African brothers and sisters. Also, there's a slight disconnect, and we need to once again connect, allay them of any fears that they may have of us. Don't go there with a class state of mind. I am better because I am from America. No. Go there with a sense of friendship and brotherhood and willing to learn different cultures. I believe that's a wonderful experience. So I'll stop right there if I can. Inshallah, God willing, after making the pilgrimage to Mecca for the Hajj ritual, then the next spot on earth I would like to visit is on the continent of Africa. As I mentioned, Ghana. I'm hearing that inshallah next year for our celebration of the Muslim Journal newspaper, there is a yearly event held called A Time to Be Grateful. And this year it was held on the island of Barbados. And from what I understand, they just returned back. And we are looking forward to hearing from from the many presenters there, their experiences. And from what I understand, next year's plan is to visit and hold the Parents to Be Grateful in the country of Ghana.
Wow. Well, that's the trip you want to go to, definitely. Well, you know, like you mentioned, that door of no return, I've known people who have described that experience, and they said you could feel the spirits of our ancestors. It was profound. It was very profound and definitely life-changing, the magnitude of that. But we have with us now our dear sister joining us live from Ghana by way of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Miss Cicely McLennan. We're so grateful that you have been able to join us today, and I was blessed to see her at an event yesterday. And, you know, I've been wanting to get her on for a long time, but, you know, I know sometimes that there are challenges trying to connect with people overseas. Every now and then when we have a guest from across the water, you know, just depending on their internet situation, you know, we can't always connect. But I'm so glad that you can join us today, because we really want to hear the real deal. And we've been talking about that experience of going to, I guess, Gori Island, where they have that door.
In Ghana, it would be Elmina and Cape Coast.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Gori Island is in, Is it not Senegal?
I think it's in Senegal, yes. Because Senegal was another place. And so, you know, a lot of us come from the areas of Ghana. A lot of us come from the areas of Senegal. Some of us come from all across the continent and other areas, and were marched across the land and held in those places before being shipped abroad.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of experiences. And now people are going through DNA tests trying to figure out,
right,
where did my people come from.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if that is a comfort to know. I mean, it's not even go back and claim, you know, an inheritance at this point in time. Okay, as I know where I would have been, does that help? But for us here, it's like we have that orphan spirit. Like I guess as they were talking about, when you feel abandoned by your parents, and we kind of carry that as a people here.
Yeah, I call it motherless child syndrome.
Yes. And, you know, when families try to go back as far as they can, it's like we hit a wall at a certain point. I mean, you go back to your grandparents and maybe your great-grandparents. Very rarely can you do great-great-grandparents. Usually there's something missing, you know, maybe three generations, maybe four at the most, and that's
right.
Rare.
Right.
At some point, there's just nothing, and it's a very frustrating situation, especially if you come among other people of other ethnicities, and they get to talking about their folks in Ireland and France, and, you know.
Yeah, it's tough, but, as you know, the reason why I call it the woe is me motherless child syndrome is because no child is motherless,
right.
You know, and we have to know that. We can't just, you know, allow the wind to blow us in any direction, because that you know, that's not fair to our ancestry that we do know about.
Yeah. That's a challenge when
mm-hmm.
You know, when my daughter, when she first went abroad, and she was in Korea, I think, the first time she traveled abroad. And, you know, she had friends from other countries. And what we don't know as African-Americans, everybody don't know what happened to us. They don't know the story. You know, they don't know about the slave thing and kidnapping and all that. And they were asked, oh, well, what, where are you from? And she's like, America. Yeah, but, I mean, before that, you know, she's like, I don't know. You know, and that's when it hit her. I don't know. And everybody else knew where their folks was from. You know, even if they were currently American citizens, they knew where they were from. So
right.
To not know, that really hits you in the face.
Yeah. I've made it a point to focus on the part about the continent as a, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter to that extent. Now, one thing I have noticed is that when you do come, sometimes you see your relatives or they'll see you. And they'll say, you know, you know, you look like somebody that I know. You know,
I've heard that a lot.
And then what I've noticed too is that I've been able to identify people based on their characteristics. Their behavior,
wow.
And also the way that they look, you know. So there's just so many different ways to look at it without being, you know, feeling excluded in any kind of way. And just like the last caller said, you know, Africa is our home, period, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether I go to North Africa or South Africa or East Africa or West Africa, I haven't heard any one of us yet come to any part of Africa and not say the words, I felt at home.
Wow.
So, and if you listen to people, you know, who have traveled there, we all say the same thing, whether we come to Tanzania or Ghana, South Africa, it doesn't matter. Wherever we land on that continent, we feel at home. And if you follow some of the travelers who document their travels throughout Africa, the Africans who document their travels throughout Africa, they say the same thing. They like, we're brothers, you know, everywhere they go. And this is a huge thing because we should be able to travel freely throughout the continent without being harassed at borders as long as we're African people. And so that's a real big push, you know, right now coming from some of us in the media, just trying to bring that pressure and that awareness to the government to, you know, release some of those colonial strongholds and let us travel and do business freely on the continent, you know. So we should, you know, I don't discriminate as far as Africa. One of the previous repatriates, because there are kind of like four or five waves of repatriation. One in the previous group before my group, he said that people ask him all the time, what if you don't like Ghana? And he said, well, there's 50-some other African countries. I'm going to come back to America. I tend to fall in that range.
Yeah, anywhere but there. Yeah, I'm about to find another country. Well, we gotta take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about what motivated you to decide to relocate, and what were some of the surprises that you got once you got there. So we'll be right back, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We're talking to Cicely McLennan, fresh from the motherland, living in Ghana. Think about it. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, the biggest, the largest, the most powerful and insightful Muslim radio network in the nation. And we are pleased to have with us live from Ghana by way of her short brief visit to Chicago, our sister, Cicely McLennan, who has relocated to the continent, and as an American-born African, I guess you can call it, as we all are, there's a lot to learn by going back home. So, yeah. So, Cicely, tell us, what was it that made you decide, I'm out of here. I'm going back to the motherland. What was that point that made you make that choice?
It was a combination of factors. It didn't just come out of the woodwork. It seems like a trajectory that I've been on for quite a long time, most of my life. And I married a Ghanaian. Well, actually,
that's
before
a good way
I married,
to get out of the country.
What'd you say?
That's a good way to get out of the country.
You know what? Though, before I married him, I realized that this man came to get me. You know. He didn't just come, and I remember the first Kwanzaa that we spent together. We had a unity day with some friends here in Chicago. And, wow. You know, when you stand up and you go around the circle, this was about 6 months after I met the brothers. And I stood up and I said, well, I'm just thankful because I feel like the ancestors sent someone to come and help escort me back home,
ooh.
You know, and I saw that vision quite a while ago, and it took me a while to walk into it. It did, you know, so sometimes when I talk, I don't want to be condescending about people with their fears about going to Africa, because look how long it took me, you know, to come to realize that that's where I wanted to be. So it started even before that, though the seed was planted in me really by my parents, unbeknownst to them. you know, unbeknownst to them. And then once I was introduced to Malcolm X and his work, when I finished studying a few of his books, I thought to myself, well, the brother left off with his work in Africa, and
yeah.
This is at 14 years old. And I thought to myself, that's where I want to pick up. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I want to pick up where he left off, you know, which is what I think we should do. And this is why history is so important, because how would you know what to do, you know, what's the best use of your time and energy if you don't know what's been done before you got here?
Right.
So you can build on top of it as opposed to reinventing the real wheel, starting from scratch each and every time, which is something we've been kind of running in the hamster wheel on.
Mm-hmm.
But it occurred to me at a young age that we should pick up where he left off. Let's pick up that work. And so my life led me along that trajectory. It was like that vision was out there, and then everything else happened after that. You know, I started organizing with Pan-African, you know, organizations as a youth. I continued that, as you know, with the All African People's Revolutionary Party. And there are others, you know, so that was the trajectory, you know.
Mm.
And so meeting somebody from Ghana and marrying him was part of that trajectory too. It did not start there. But I always said that was that relationship was a pathway for me that made it easier for me to walk.
Mm.
Yeah.
So did he kind of school you ahead of time, say, well, okay, now this is what you do, this is the tradition for this, this is how you greet people, this is what you say, and, you know, I mean, did he give you kind of a heads up in terms of what to expect? Oh, you in there cold, huh?
You know, just the dynamics of a married relationship, you know, where you have to say, well, this is something I can't do, and this is something that's cool for me. You know, that's an ongoing dynamic in a married relationship. But besides that, man, I mean, my brother, he didn't really, you know,
he didn't prepare you.
Orientation. I think it was his position, and I'm guessing, because there's no way for me to check, because you know, he passed away.
Mm.
But I believe it was his, and something he said all the time, you're from America, everybody's going to love you type of thing.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't really kind of matter. You know,
if you get stuff wrong, it's okay.
Just come and learn and, you know, go along. But I always wanted to learn more. You know, before my first trip, I took a language class.
Oh, yeah.
With Abibi Toomey, with brother,
yeah.
Dr. Obadile Cambone.
Yeah, yeah, I'm planning to have him on the show as soon as I can, and I want to start my lessons back up with him as well. I think our co-host, Kareem Hamid, has a question, a thought to share. Go ahead, Brother Kareem. You're on with Sister McClendon.
Yes. We're aware that Africa, the continent of Africa, it's not a homogenized continent. In other words, there are differing languages, differing tribes, differing nations, and differing cultures. And it's just a smorgasbord, a large table to dine at in experiencing the different cultures, languages, nations, people. You know, sometimes when we hear, let's go back to Africa, in most of our thinking that there's only one way, you know, only one.
Yeah,
people.
One place.
But there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Americans
yeah,
thought
one,
that.
One,
they still
one
think
place.
That.
Yeah. No.
They
Africa
think of it as
a
country,
instead
of a continent of countries.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, We can experience those cultural differences. I'm quite sure that they will be enlightening for us, and it'll help ground us. It's an appreciation of whatever culture is existing in Sudan, in Mozambique, whatever. That whatever it is, it will be rewarding for us. just our mere presence on the continent, and then visit other countries, visit on the continent of Africa. It's a smorgasbord. It's a large table to dine from. The culture, the language, the customs. I'm quite sure it's a wonderful experience. Praise be to Almighty God. So Africa is not just a country. It's a continent, and it is rich. It is the most wealthiest continent on the earth, not only in mineral resources, but in human resources also. It is very rich. So, inshallah, I would love to visit the continent and the many countries, the many cultures, the many, diet, food choices, you name it. It's a wonderful experience. Yes.
Right.
And I'm grateful for the courage of our sister to move to another environment, move to another place whereby, and I'm quite sure she will share with us how that was a liberating experience for her to be among people that look just like you. The majority, and you don't feel second class or anything like that. So I'm quite sure it's a wonderful experience, Sister Cicely. You mentioned our brother Malik Elhaj Shabazz just last night, just on a whim. I went to a expose of our brother Malcolm. Story has not been told in its completeness.
He did a lot of work there.
A lot of things. But he did, he did a lot of work there, and he established a close relationship with leaders of certain countries on the continent of Africa. They loved him. He loved them. And his plan was, because a close relationship with the leader, and they had seats at the United Nations. If they would represent us in this country, represent us at the United Nations, and charge the United States with human rights violations. That was part of his plan. And from what I understand, it has not come to fruition yet. But he truly loved the continent, and we should establish close relationships ourselves, because Africa is on the rise. Africa is on the rise. After getting thrown off the shackles of colonialism, they want to now become independent nations. So I'll stop right there.
Africa. Well, you know, you brought up a lot of points that I think bear exploration. First of all, Cicely, you mentioned that you had the thought of continuing the work of Malcolm, and one of the things that he spoke about was the unity, understanding that the reason why we got in this mess that we ended up in was because of the disunity, the infighting over the wealth, and people being willing to sell out their brothers over, with
anything.
Willing to sell us abroad, not knowing what happened on the other side, not having an awareness of what our experience was once we got here. But, I mean, it's just basic human greed. It's not even, you can't really break it down to color. Human beings have done awful things to each other everywhere on the globe. So this was a hard lesson for us to learn. What happens when you don't have ethics and when your greed and desire for power overcome your humanity? Then you experience the lowest of humanity, which we did. So the infighting, the tribalism, the family groups, this one fighting that group, we all lost in the end, and that was a lesson to be learned. But one of the things that Malcolm was working on was, you know, of course, it was the Organization of African Unity that existed. He wanted the Organization of African American Unity here. he was trying to, like Brother Kareem said, get representation for what happened to us at the table at the United Nations and express the reality of the genocide that happened and the continuous brutality. Is there any body, any movement, any political thought that is still present that is trying to continue that work of addressing the historical wrong, addressing the economic wrong? We got conversations about reparations all the time on this side. Is there anybody talking about it over there? And if so, what form does that take?
Yeah, they, you know, any, you know, well-studied African will correct us and say we didn't have tribes before Europeans showed up.
Oh.
Yeah, they will correct us. So part of the issue was that of just, you know, not really having that global view, you know, and allowing ourselves to be put in a sling, mm-hmm. you know, and that resulted in a lot of atrocity. So, you know, unity is our greatest defense, and that was the spirit behind what Brother Malcolm was working on. We have since come to understand that the UN is not a viable working solution for us in this country or us in Africa in any type of way. It is definitely is led by the United States and its oligarchical puppet masters. Mm. So that's information that Malcolm did not have. You know, and there have been charges. The UN has brought the United States up on human rights charges.
Mm.
And one thing I can say about African leadership is, you know, the colonial experiment, it's ongoing. It's still a battle. Mm. You know, a lot of times, you know, we know that here in the West, we're still fully engaged in a battle for our lives based on our skin color.
Yeah.
But and that means we're behind enemy lines. We're inside of an enemy stronghold.
Wow.
But on the continent of Africa, their front in the battle is the exact front line of the battle.
Mm.
So it is still very much so a battle. There's still a war, you know, being waged against Africans against the continent itself. So nothing is happening, you know, without being promoted, challenged, contested, aggravated by the West. Nothing is happening without them, you know, having, you know, trying to sabotage and do what they do. To this day, that has not changed. And sometimes people like to bring up that conversation. I'm just going a little deep into this topic.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, well, they sold us. They sold us. I said, no, they didn't sell us. We sold ourselves.
Yes.
Some of us are still selling ourselves. So starting from there, what I would say is, and I've challenged people, you know, publicly, let's talk about this. Which of us have come home with the intent to work and build Home to Africa, with the intent to work and build, that have not been offered assistance, land, resources, you know, just on the strength? Now, Ghana happens to have a more formalized plan in terms of the House of Chiefs have acknowledged, you know, it's backwards, you know, backwardness in participation with the European. It took them several hundred years themselves to realize what they had got caught up in. So they have acknowledged that, and in doing so, have invited us back as a brother, sister who have returned home.
Mm.
You know, and that comes with a level of, you know, cultural responsibility that even though they've welcomed us to step back into our role, we still haven't even been able to do that. So we've been offered much more than we've taken advantage of, is my point.
So is it because the American-born people are afraid to step forward and take advantage of it? Is it because we lack a vision of how to turn this into an enterprising situation? Is it lacking resources? Well, you say they've offered. I don't know, one thing, China has been very aggressive on the continent, making ties, making alliances, because they see the future and they see the wealth, like Kareem was talking about. All of these things that we're developing technologically require certain minerals that are right there in the land.
Right.
And China has really kind of, in a lot of ways that I'm hearing, developed almost that same colonial type of relationship, you know.
Well, it's not quite the same as the Western Eurasians, but it's close enough for us to look at it closely.
Yeah.
And really make sure that we, you know, have our ducks lined up. Look, we've already been caught in the sling once. I don't see the reason for us to do that again. But, you know, a weak person doesn't have any friends, and a weak continent and a weak people who are not highly organized in this world, it's a very dangerous position to be in, because then, you know, one side can't let the other one have access to what we have without them having access to it.
Right.
So then we've just put ourselves, with our lack of unity and disorganization, in a proxy position.
Mm.
You know, so people are fighting all over us and our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So
that's
an issue that can be talked about, you know, separately.
Mm.
But what I will say for us is, it's not so much as a lack of vision, but a lack of organization and commitment to the vision.
Mm.
You know, there are those of us who are actually on the ground putting in the groundwork, and you don't hear about it. And that's because we didn't come from China. We don't have the Chinese government at our back.
Mm.
We came as returnees. We're in an entirely different position on the continent. And so if we don't take the responsibility to qualify and quantify the work that we're doing there and the vision that we have for there, then again, we also are putting ourselves in, you know, and just in a weird position. And so that's something that I've talked about repeatedly, you know, throughout, you know, in media, in my interviews, because we have to deal with that. We don't lack vision. We don't lack leadership. We lack the organization. Everybody can't be a leader. You know, some people need to you know, to kind of get in where they fit in, and some people need to be visionaries, and some people need to be, you know, the doers and the integrators, and, you know, so that's why we call it organization.
Right.
You know, just because everybody has an opinion doesn't mean everybody is a leader. So those of us that are, you know, putting in the work, who are not afraid and who have skin in the game, we have to regard them more than what we do. We're there. We're building. We're building some of the largest Pan-African developments in modern history.
Wow.
Right now in East Africa and West Africa.
Mm.
But where's our attention? It's focused on all, you know, all the things that have nothing to do with what it is that we need. So we're not, you know, I see the Lebanese, the Turks, the Indians, the Chinese are, you know, filtering up and down the continent, seeing, you know, how they can get in. Now the Russians are there.
Wow.
You know, the Western Europe, France is just a monstrosity in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, the U.S. as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like a free-for-all. And if we don't make the commitment to line up and get in order, you know what I mean, we're basically facing the same thing we've already faced before.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is the calling, and Nkrumah said that like 50 or 60 years ago. Do it now, or it will be harder.
Yeah.
Do it now, Do it now. So now is the time for us to be really thinking about doing business in Africa, you know, buying land, doing business, visiting, and just strengthening those connections, because ultimately it's our unity that broke the chains of slavery.
Yes, yes.
No one freed us in this country. We freed ourselves. Let's not mistake it.
And we need to know that. We need to keep teaching that. That's what was needed, and that's what broke the chains of slavery.
It was our love for each other, for our families, and wanting to be together. So those the things, the very things that we need to give us the impetus to take responsibility for the things that we have to do and give us the courage to do them, are the very things being discouraged in this society. So we're dealing with a serious conundrum, but, you know, we have to face the facts. Look at Haiti and what they were able to do. Only unity.
Yes, that's what
you know, unity. Even a thin, you know, if you have thread and you have one thin piece of thread, okay, it can give you something, but when you roll that thread together with other very thin pieces of thread, you know,
a strong
person will have a hard time to break those threads.
Right.
So, you know, in essence, that's what we're calling for. You know, this is our, you know, we just like our ancestors had their kids take a stab at it. You know, we now have ours. So. I'm very curious as to what other people think our legacy in this generation will be if we don't gather ourselves and put the ball forward the way the ball was put forward for us.
Wow.
So I'm very curious about that.
Yes, well, we got a lot to see. Well, we got to take another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about what kind of education is happening. I've got a friend who runs a school there, and, you know, we've been talking about taking some children from here to there to establish, you know, like, connections. But education-wise, what vision are the children getting? Are they addressing some of the mistakes that were made so that we don't make them again? And how do we enlighten our children on this side to see that global vision so that we can actually build? So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1 to let us know you want to speak. That'll light your number up on our switchboard. And if you're on our switchboard now, got a thought you want to share or a question for our guest, this is Lee McLennan, press 1, and we'll come right to you and get your comments. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. And every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
I'm
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are talking to our guest, Cicely McLennan, who took a break from her time in Ghana to give us some insight about the motherland. And this is a place I'm wanting to go and definitely looking forward to that trip. I've got many friends that I met in college when I went to the University of Nebraska. A lot of friends from Ghana said, well, just come on home. And I go, okay. A lot of friends in Nigeria said the same thing. And I've got friends that are living and doing business in Ghana now. We've had a few on the show, and one in particular that has a school over in Ghana. Goes, you know, she lives in Atlanta, but she travels back and forth. And, you know, just mention some of the challenges, like you said, resources sometimes, but definitely wanting to give a vision to the young people of a new world that they have the ability to help build. But that means they have to learn from some of our mistakes, the disunity, as you mentioned, that got us into the condition we ended up, vulnerable to other people taking advantage of us, fighting each other. And they want our stuff, and they can see that, you know, we so busy fighting, we didn't know how to protect our things, and we're still going right through that. So philosophically, when we look at what we should be teaching our young people about the world of tomorrow they're going to build. And, of course, you know, I've been involved with things like clean energy, you know, solar energy, and a lot of people saying that's the answer to a lot of the growth and energy issues happening on the continent. And I know China has been really focusing on the building of solar panels, which a lot of the minerals used in that come out the continent. So, you know, I can see strategically why they want to be there. But also, our children need to be mastering the technology that's going to shape the world and the economy of the future and free us from dependency on other people. So what kinds of philosophy do you see the children being taught as it relates to independence, control of their environment, control of their future, freeing themselves from other economic powers and other corporate entities that have a stronghold there? What kind of education do you see happening in that regard?
We need a lot more work in that area.
Mm.
And in fact, I would identify that as an opportunity for us, just to give that rounded out perspective based on our experience in the wilderness, as they say. So, yeah, that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I want to approach it. You know, some of my people will come and, oh, they're teaching the kids. I've had a very largely positive experience with my children in school in Ghana. Mm-hmm. They're immersed in culture, which is amazing for them. They're thriving, and I would say they, you know, they have some tactics that they use. Their students are very motivated. They have some challenges, but by and large, they're very motivated. They're very hardworking. They're very focused. They take education very seriously. And I think it's a prime opportunity for us to involve ourselves with that process to round out that perspective. As far as the scientific training, you know as well as, you know, any of us here, most of our doctors here are from either Ghana or Nigeria. It's a reason for that, and it's because they're very focused on science and the STEM, you know, the STEM subject areas. In fact, my son is taking an IT-focused training while he's in high school. Yeah, and then, you know, they have a couple of good universities there that are very much so focused on, you know, just all the sciences. They have a lot of developments happening with telecom and the University of Cape Coast. Obviously, you have the University of Ghana there, which is still one of the best schools in the world. Ooh. You know. Yeah, so, it's a tremendous opportunity. In fact, I met an aeronautical scientist. It was a sister. When I was not the last time I was on the campus, but I was just looking at her like, wow, it was a heavy topic.
Aerodynamics. So, yeah.
Oh yes. And then, you know, Google Ghana is there. Of course they just closed the Twitter office, but Twitter, you know, has made a little bit of a home there. Still looking for Apple to do its duty and open up, you know, something there to make their technology more accessible since we are using it there.
Yes, yes.
So there's a lot of opportunity in those areas. You know, I work a lot with the media developers as far as the film and, you know, just getting information out, that type of thing. And I've worked with some very heavy IT professionals. In fact, we had a chance to interview Farida Bedwai, who is part of the strength behind that mobile banking technology very secure, that's highly developed. And it's developed to the point in Africa where you don't even have to really speak English or, you know, and you can still do mobile banking.
It's a secure
way to do it. So she's one of the sisters that's behind that technology.
Oh, wow.
I hope to share that interview too on our channel.
Yeah.
Because she was amazing. I mean, when you meet an African sister that's, you know, a continental African sister that's on her game, to me it's just nothing like it. I have learned a lot from them. So I would say, yeah, they take education very seriously. The STEM technologies are burst in here, and I think it's a tremendous opportunity for us to come in and round it out, you know, with that perspective of, you know, the global perspective and our experience of dealing and working with Eurasians, because we all need to be apprised, and we are not.
We definitely need to,
you know,
step up. Yes.
Naima, you have a public service announcement. And in that verbiage, you mentioned be willing to share.
Yes.
Be willing to share. There's enough resources on this earth to provide for everyone. We have to be in a global frame of mind now.
Right. That's it.
You know, Africa, the continent, is looked at in terms of economics, in terms of economics. Colonel Gaddafi, Libya is on the continent of Africa. And he had enough wealth enough gold stockpile that he met with African leaders and suggested to them that they should set up their independent banking system, leave the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and set up our own banking system. Well, now, when you talk like that, you are really speaking to some powerful people that want to keep a stranglehold on the economics of this earth, period, the earth, period. Patrice Lumumba was a unifier. He was head of the organization called Mau Mau. They demonized that liberating force, and they demonized him. And via a CIA plot, they had Patrice Lumumba eliminated. Now, we should keep our eye on economics. In South Africa, the South African can vote now, but the wealth still remains in the hands of colonizers. Material conditions have not improved. So we have to look at this under the umbrella of economics, wealth, but we want to assure the world that we are willing to share. We are willing to share and not just hoard like other countries have done. That impress upon the world that, yes, we want to control our resources, but we are willing to share. I think that word goes a long way in our liberation movement. It's
absolutely.
It's economic. It is, and there are major corporations that are involved on the continent of Africa, on the continent, period, coming from Asia, Europe, the United States. We have a deficit, praise be to Allah, we have a deficit in leaders that are not influenced or corrupted by the colonizers whose financial presence is still within those independent countries. And if you don't play ball with them, they will attempt to eliminate you. This is very high stakes, what we're speaking of here. This is very high stakes. So although we have an emotional tie, we should be trying to establish economic ties with countries in Africa. We have a global market now, and we can establish economic ties with countries on the continent of Africa. So I'll just stop right there.
This is the work that we're engaged in.
Yeah.
At no point do I settle with just talking about it. You know, this is the work that we're engaged in. We help open up a food processing factory for minimally processed organic fruits and spices last year.
Oh, wow.
We need more of that, you know. In terms of sharing right now, our best thing to share is our knowledge and the resources that we have and the perspective that we have as far as how we've come through and survived in the West. So at no given point have we not shared. You know, it's not us who is in question in terms of our intention on this earth. You know, we've shared everything. We've overshared, you know. So in order to bring that into balance, we have to bring ourselves together, you know. And so one of the things that we've done is encourage agricultural business development and agricultural development And when I say the word opportunity, it strictly means opportunity, not yes. just in philosophy, but also economically. It's a holistic opportunity.
Yes.
And there's so many. I mean, we could have a weekly or daily show just talking about the opportunities for us. On the continent where we can get in and do our part. NATO and the West only power is the power to wage war and to destroy. But we have so much more than that because we have the power to build. We have the power to unify. We have the power physically to birth the world.
Yeah, and that's what I would like to see our next generation taught in terms of philosophy of where the world is going. We don't need this warmongering. We don't need this constant fearmongering and pitting one side against the other because there's enough to share. Now, there's something that Kareem mentioned about Gaddafi, and I know that really was the underlying reason why he was targeted because once we realize that money is whatever the general public agrees it is, you can decide that something else is your means of exchange.
Right.
And you really don't need this monetary system at all.
Right.
And once you decide something else is your means of exchange, it has no power, it has no value at all. It's a mindset, it's a thought. And whether we use gold, whether we use cowrie shells, whether we use goats, it doesn't matter. If everybody agrees this is what we're going to use to exchange, and that's what we use. Now, we've been working on a concept, and we're going to launch that soon, which really has to do with your own service, your own energy, your own sharing of your skills as your means of exchange, which everybody has, which means you don't need a piece of paper issued by the government. You just need the two people to agree. We will exchange. We will share. We were doing that before the invention of money. We can do it again. So we can eliminate the created poverty by those who have had a stranglehold on the monetary system by deciding they're the ones who determine what money is, because we can decide money is something else. And we have that power in our hands right now.
Exactly.
Once we decide and unify with that decision, there it is.
Exactly. This is why I encourage agricultural development. I've always, worked in that area, and I absolutely encourage us to put our feet in the soil, literally, and just feel the potential, feel the power, feel the release of the negative, vibes and extra excitability, release that and feel the earth and allow it to communicate, through you. That's the basis of our economic development. That's the basis of our health. That's the basis of everything that we know ourselves to be embodied on this earth. So agricultural development is another huge area of opportunity for us, to come back home and just have a huge impact. And we're doing it. We've got some farming happening, some production happening. I myself have been involved with beverage development and production, food preservation, and teaching farmers how to really make the most of their income from their land, no matter how much it is, in terms of, what, besides letting 50% of your produce go to waste, what are some of the other things that you can do to make sure that you're maximizing your income and your work from the land? My daughter has skin and beauty products, that are naturally, natural and based on, things that come from the land. So we're getting, even when we manufacture, our goal is to come back to the source, and build from there. So we're actively engaged. We're looking for people to just give us some energy, throw us a bone. Come and visit. Let us escort you and let you see for yourself, some of the opportunities. It's nothing like touching down on the ground and seeing for yourself. If you have that opportunity, I highly recommend people to do that, because it's one thing to see it from afar, but there's a whole different energy, some of which I can articulate and some of which I just cannot.
Mm.
But I can tell you my first visit to Africa was in 2012, and I was so motivated.
Wow.
I learned about three major skills after coming back from Africa.
Wow.
My daughter was 12 years old. She opened her first official business after coming back from Africa.
Wow.
She was so motivated.
Yeah.
So, I'm so excited about the possibilities. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm from Chicago. I'm from Inglewood, in fact.
Mm.
And you can say we the ghetto or something like that. But it wasn't a push. It was a pull.
Yes.
It was a pull. It wasn't what we were getting away from. It was what we know we have to establish and what we were going to.
Yes.
So with that said, I know that it's not – none of us are safe, okay? You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll never be safe. And our children and our future is not safe at all if we don't set certain parameters in place. So
right.
For me, it was necessary for not just me, but for many of us to come back to the land and establish movement on these opportunities, because these are the very things that bring us together and make the wheel turn for us. So.
Mm.
It's not a fear factor, because people say that, like, oh, you brave. Well, I don't know about that part. I just know that this is what makes sense economically, for my health, for my sanity, you know, for my future, the legacy that we're putting in place. This makes sense. You know, any business-minded person should join us. And see, and you know, it's one thing for us to you know, get it how we find it here in America, but it's a whole other thing to be motivated by your people, by that energy, you know, of being at home. And trust me, when you come with positive intention, doors will be open to you that you never even imagined.
Wow.
I have opportunities right now that I haven't even been able to build on yet.
But they're there.
You know, yet. You know, so I encourage people to, you know, please, you know, get in touch with me, you know, stay in touch with us, come and visit with us, let us take you around and, you know, really get a chance to get a feel for what we mean when we say a tremendous opportunity. I mean, that's the most positive, you know, viewpoint, not just for the sake of being positive. It's just. You have to see it through that lens, because that's exactly what it is.
Mm.
So it's nothing to be afraid of in that regard.
Mm.
We have every right, you know, to live, to build, to work in the way that we see fit. And we have every right to defend that. So we have to put ourselves in position and give ourselves a chance. So the first thing you have to do, you know, is put some skin in the game.
Like, you put some skin in the game.
You know, if you can't come, put, you know, donate some, you know, do some media, do some education, you know, this type of thing. Let's get some energy going around this thing.
Yeah. Now, is there a website that people can go to or contact you or how, it's like, if they say, look, I'm ready to do this, I got this idea or I got this project or I want to go and travel, how do they reach you? And you know, is there a place they can even go and see some of the developments that have happened, your website?
No, I have the channel, The New African. You can also check out Noelani Pierce. That's my daughter's channel.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we show a lot of the background stuff. You can see some of the projects that we're building. You can follow me on social media.
Now, the channel, is that a YouTube channel? Okay. And what is
YouTube channel.
Okay.
The New African.
The New African. Okay. So let's see. So that is. Would that be the New African?
You should be able to reach it just by the New African. That's the name of the channel.
How does YouTube go? Is it YouTube/ then whatever it is, or
Yeah, but even if you just open YouTube and search for The New African,
okay. Well, I'll look for it.
I think it should come up.
Yeah. We
and
will.
Then just by my name, you can reach me, you know, throughout social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook. My email is myname@gmail.com. So you can, people can feel free to contact me, and we'll be sharing more information about, you know, the developments that we have going on. You know, I wrote a couple of books about this process.
Oh, yes. We will. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about your books because, you know, that's the whole purpose. It's learn from other people's experiences. So
right. Please.
Yeah. Definitely, we want to make sure that we learn. Okay, I see a bunch of them. We're gonna find you on here, The New African. All right. So we'll be right back after this last break. And if you're on our switchboard now, press one. Let me check and see if we've got any callers. Got some call. Oh yeah, I've got a bunch of calls on the line. Press one to speak.
Yes,
and if you're
I
on our switchboard
callers
now.
Here.
Okay, we'll take your callers when we come back from this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We're talking to Cicely McClendon, fresh from the motherland, living in Ghana, and she wrote a book. You got to get it. All right, we'll be right back. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Susan Essentials leads you to wellness by giving you access to more than 20,000 sustainably produced nutritional products delivered direct to your door.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we are so excited to be talking to Cicely McClennan, who is a resident of Ghana, coming through Chicago for a little while to give us some insight. And I pulled up the new Africa channel. I'm not sure if this is the one, but one thing that came to me when you mentioned the channel and the information that you have, we're launching a TV channel here, On Air, which stands for Online Network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts. And so we actually have been connecting with communicators around the globe who are putting forth new thought. And I would love to get with you to get your shows and your videos on our channel so that we can keep people connected to what's happening in Ghana and other countries that you report on and the events, and encourage them to make those economic connections, those cultural connections, those spiritual connections. You know, I believe that the world of the future is going to be organized as one village. And as Kareem was talking about, when we choose to share, like we've been doing, and get rid of the notion that there's not enough, so we got to fight for it. There's enough for everybody. There's no reason to fight. There's no need. There's no reason for war. There's no reason for conflict. All we have to do is share what we have. And when our children who grew up in this technology get the feeling of a global family, there's no need for us to even be dividing ourselves into separate tribes and nations as if we're not all one human race. So I think part of the future vision has to be that unified global family that makes sure everybody's needs are taken care of. I don't have to come in your country with guns and try to take your land because you're sharing. And you don't have to come in my land and take mine because I'm sharing with you. Everybody has what they need. Everybody's sharing their skills. There's no need for conflict. If we can envision that world and teach our children that philosophy, not the whole competitive, I got to get mine, I'm going to take yours, all that's got to go. And I believe we can do that if we teach a different mindset, a different philosophy, a different vision of what the world is going to look like once we simply share and produce and create and get all that the world has to offer us. So that's
right. I wish other emotions were as the sharing as we were. we wouldn't be in this boat. It's not really mass genocide and war, mass, you know, weapons is not our style. You know, it always could have been our style because, you know, we've had the technology for thousands of years, but we just never went in that direction. So hopefully the rest of humanity can learn something from the African way. You know, we have a lot of differences within African cultures, but there's a few fundamental things that run through most of us, even those of us who, you know, are in the West. And the more we, you know, work with each other and identify those strands of continuity and collectivity, that'll strengthen us, and in turn, that will give the rest of the world an opportunity to kind of catch up, because war is play. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Who's doing that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wins. There's no such thing as a winnable war. And once you start a war, everybody loses. But, you know, what's interesting,
yeah.
I think the thought was put out there by the movie Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, when you think you have these brilliant minds. If we use that intelligence toward development, look how far our technology would take us instead of trying
to
figure out how to weaponize everything. Oh, let me see how I can use this to kill some old people. You know, that's, what kind of spirit is that?
Unfortunately, that's a function of certain cultures. You know, that's their contribution to the world.
And
so I just always saw this up to us to do what our contribution is, which, you know, is diametrically opposed to mass war.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's up to us to build strength in that area. And thank goodness, you know, we are international people.
Yeah.
There are Africans all over the world. There's nowhere where we are not. So if we can just, you know, open our minds to our ways and do those and live those, it would help a lot.
Yes,
it would.
Yeah.
Green,
you've got a couple of callers on the
mm-hmm.
line there, and you got a comment?
Yes, very brief comment. We have a concept here in this country to build New Africa, like there is New York. That's extends from a city in Europe, New Amsterdam. We have a concept here in America called New Africa. And
isn't that down in Atlanta, I think?
Well, it's nationwide. The thrust is to build our community life here in America. To strengthen our communities, that's a job that needs to be continuous. We need to strengthen ourselves, our ties here in this country, establish our community life and our business life and our cultural life and our educational life, government, culture, and all of that. Then we can approach other countries on the continent of Africa, because we have strengthened ourselves here with the concept of New Africa. We can build it. Can't we? I mean, we can build that right here where we are.
I look at it the opposite way, because we have built it. You know, we built a lot, and we weren't able to defend it, and it wasn't sustainable. Because we built it surrounded by enemy territory. Well, Africa,
like
is
Black Wall Street and things like that.
Just so many different Wall Streets. I mean, we were doing it. This is not, you know, a lot of people forget that after we broke the chains off of ourselves, we built our communities from the ground up
at such a rapid pace. Built universities. Yeah.
We haven't caught up to Reconstruction yet, because once the enemy saw what we were doing, they came for us in so many different ways, and I don't think we were expecting that.
My
position is that, and the same as what Malcolm put forth, is that a strong Africa is our defense wherever we are. You know, so without that foundation, and without that level of organization and that level of African, you know, unity and connectivity, we have no power. That's the issue with Haiti. Haiti is in an ongoing battle, and it will continue until Africa is strong. Cubans had a revolution to, you know, overthrow the economic oppression that they were dealing with. And guess what? It's still not enough to cure racism because until Africa is strong, it doesn't matter really what we're doing over here as much as, you know. And then we've come to a point where this was work that was supposed to be done 50 to 70 years ago. So now we're in even more of a crucial time frame. So it's crucial that we simultaneously do what we can where we are, and we also look to Africa and put some energy and some strength towards our foundation, because that's going to be our defense with whatever we deal.
Mm.
Right now, we, you know, Chinese move around the earth with China at their back, and we have to be able to move around the earth with Africa at our back. And the only way that's going to happen is if we extend that vision and we extend ourselves and build those bridges stronger than what they are right now.
Mm.
So for me, you know, I realize, look, we've been there and done that. The last 100 years has been a total hamster wheel here in America. But
yeah.
We shouldn't, you know, stop, though. We should.
You know, let's tell
we
the truth, as my grandmother would say, and shame the devil. It's been a total hamster wheel.
We've
been running in place for 100 years. We have not taught our ancestors yet with what they built after Reconstruction.
Yeah.
And that's something we need to look at.
We
need to deep dive into that era, because we missed one or two things. So for me, the foundation is always the homeland. That's the source of our strength, the source of our DNA, the source of our power, you know. So it's nothing to, you know, look, I just came to Chicago. What I'm seeing, it's challenging. It's challenging to watch, you know, the dilapidation and the lack of business development, and the, you know, we're not employing our children.
Yes, that's
you know,
the issue.
I mean,
that's
you know, it, you know, and we can do something about it, but we have to have that vision, and then we also have to be able to defend it.
Mm.
We have to be able to defend it. If we know that we can build it. We know that we can fight oppression, but what we have not been able to do is to sustain our gain. So that's what Africa is about. So let's be clear, please, you know.
Mm.
Let's
be
clear.
To defend it. That's a deep thing. We got a couple of callers here, and we got a couple of callers there. We only got about 10 minutes left, so I guess we need to let our callers get a word in edgewise. So if you take a caller, Kareem, then I'll take one, and you take another one, I'll take another one. So 773-737 and 813-646. Hold on. We're going to take you versus go to the AM360 board. Go right ahead.
Okay. Error code 706-627. Oh, welcome to the Female Solution.
Yeah, so I don't...
Give us your name where you're calling from. Yeah. Give us your name where you're calling from.
Yeah. Yes, I come from Georgia, Brother Muhammad. You know, I just want to say right quick, you cover so much territory. As far as education is concerned, we need to teach our children more about Islamic banking and halal and ram should be one of the subjects we should try to teach our children, because that's the leadership economy system that's going to come into play here, you know, what Allah has ordained. So we know from history that we had massive movement of economy, and they destroyed it. They had Idi Amin, and just like Brother Hamid said, they had the brother in Morocco. So we know that every time we attempt to establish a halal economy, you know, we have association and don't realize who we're working with, the people that we are working with, and what is their motivation. And they intervene and get involved and destroy the opportunity to establish the halal economy that Allah wants for the earth to get back to. So our children need to start learning more and more about Islamic banking, what is halal and what is haram, because this is the type of strength that they're going to need, that Imam Muhammad said, you know, if we're going to establish a world community about Islam. He didn't bring university out of Islam to us because it was too much over our heads, just like he changed the University of Islam school, you know, to Sister Claire Muhammad's school. He done that to break it down to where he was hoping that we could grasp what he was leading us to. So our goal is still the same. New Africa is good, but we already got New Medina. You know, we need to look at New Medina as much as it's taught, you know, so that we can learn how to go back to Mecca, like Prophet Muhammad did, and start to establish his community, but this time be wise that we had to be careful of the hypocrites and different things that motivate people who are still under the influence of the Satan. Just want to say that.
Well, thank you, brother.
Let me take a call from this, and that was Voice of Muhammad from Georgia. And let me go to area code 813-646. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment. And we got a comment on our Facebook page. Viata said, Grand Rising Queens, yes, there are opportunities galore all over the world. Yes, there are. We need to see them. So 813-646, go right ahead. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Most people don't know it, but there are over 800 plus black townships in this country right now, and some of them have been direct contact with Africa for probably 100 years or so. There are some black townships. Now, I just found this out a couple of weeks ago because I interviewed a black township mayor. And they've made trips, some of these black townships like Mount Bayou, Mississippi. Some of those black mayors are in talks with, you know, the Chinese or Asian countries, manufacturers rather, so they can have manufacturing facilities at some of these small black townships. But they're well over 800 plus in the United States, but most people don't know it. So I'll end my plane there.
Thank you, L.A. And, you know, we do have things we've done, and we need to strengthen, promote, and capitalize on the gains and what we have been doing so the people can be encouraged, because they know it is happening. But like you say, we got to defend it. We got to be able to sustain it. Kareem, you want to take another call on your switchboard, and then I'll go to 773-737 after that. Go right ahead.
Okay. Error code 312-671. I believe
Thank
this
you.
Is Minister Clark.
Yes, where are y'all along, Minister Plump, Chicago, Illinois. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
All right, family. Yeah, count Brother Plump in on freedom, justice, equality, economics, and unity in the community from Chicago to Africa. Black love matters, too. We have to be responsible for our own conditions in our own community. And as we exercise change, then we just ask everybody to give us the support that we need. God is good. Allah, Yahweh, is the greatest in my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, and my spirit. And I feel that since I want to do a collaboration with you through education and saving our children is the best. Black power is our success, and saving our children is the best of the best. And I can.
All right. Well, I'll connect you all, so you can work on that before she goes back to Ghana. You can make that connection and make it happen. All right. Thanks so much, Minister Robert Floyd.
All right.
773-737.
Hallelujah! Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers. Mama D from Chicago. I went to Ghana in October of 2018 and saw the preparations for the year of return, 2019. And when I said I was from Chicago, I was told, no, you are from here. So that's okay.
So well, Ghana in your face.
Yes. However, coming from a continent where we don't control the communities that we live in, I think that's just sort of unrealistic. But coming in by choice from countries like Ghana, Haiti, Jamaica, Poland, England, etc. You came by choice, coming from countries, and that is totally different from being stolen and held in captivity for 246 years as chattel or movable property thing. It's a totally different experience. Now, my question to you is, the question of reparations is coming up. And we don't have an official name outside of what the Spaniards gave us, the founding fathers of the transatlantic slave trade. The Spaniards named us Negroes because it meant black in Spanish. Do you think it's time for us to claim this country and that that would strengthen us as a people? I think we need a category called NAA. Indigenous Native American Africans. If you're in the country before it becomes the country and 1619 came before 1776, you are indigenous. And instead of claiming the continent African Americans, we need to claim the country that our ancestors' crimes against humanity and terror and torture created. American Africans claiming the country. What do you think?
Thank you, Mama D. That's quite a thought. What do we call ourselves?
You really want to know what I think?
I think that
we need to organize ourselves from the point of strength. The category of Indigenous America is not a point of strength. Strategically, philosophically, ideologically, it's a holistic weak point compared to that of we are Africans, period. You know, we do not need to make this complicated. The more simple it is, the more our people understand us. Those of us in leadership need to get in line and get on code. We are Africans, period. That is our point of strength. Everything else comes after that. Anything else can come after that. But we have to know, you know, from whence our help cometh, okay? And our help is our unity. Our help is our collectivity as African people. That is a point of strength. As Garvey would say, why would I give up a continent for an island?
Ooh, wow. Wow. Yeah, and I think that's because we don't learn geography here in America. That's why people think of Africa as this small country, small, pitiful, powerless country, and see America as this great power, when really, if you look on a globe, America is this little island, and you've got the whole continent of Africa where so much comes from and so much is happening.
It's amazing. For those of us who, you know, practice religion in any kind of way, can you imagine meeting, you know, the maker on Judgment Day, and he said, I gave you Africa. What did you do?
I gave
you Africa. I made you the original mother. What did you do?
We got to take
now, if you envision that moment, you know what I'm saying, in your spiritual life, and work backwards from there. We're Africans, period. Period. Let's start from there.
Wow. Well, there you go. Well, we've got to go, people. Yes, we are African people. You know, that was the pledge that we said every day at Betty Shabazz. We are African people struggling for national liberation. We are preparing leaders and workers to bring about positive change for our people.
Yes.
I can still recite that pledge. And that was a powerful thing to put into the minds of our children. So before we go, we only got about a minute left before we go. Give us a final word. How can people reach you if they want to get involved in international trade and business with Ghana? How do they keep connected with you?
Guys, give me a call while I'm in Chicago if you want to reach me, 312-210-3671. But you can Google Cicely McLennan. Google my name. You can contact me on any social media platform. I definitely return my messages. Email me, cicely.mcclennan@gmail.com. The spelling is on the screen.
And for those who are listening, it's CICELYMCCLENNON. That's McLennan. Cicely McLennan.
Cicely.mcclennan@gmail.com.
Get in touch with her, and hey, let's make it happen. But thank you so much. We thank all of you who have listened in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Kareem Hamid, and all of our brothers and sisters on our American Muslim 360 channel. And, of course,
all of you listening on the Female Solution. Join us again tomorrow. We'll be right on back here with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Thank you so much.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.